From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. It's good to have you joining us today as the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister of Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church, is with us to let the Bible speak.
Welcome again to our gospel broadcast. Last week we considered the lost estate into which we as sinners are born. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, reveals to us in the opening three verses the natural state of man, and it's rather a dark picture indeed that he paints. However, when we come to the next verse, we come to a section in which he deals with how the Lord in his mercy has set forth a rescue plan for sinners. Let me read the verses. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. You remember that means hath made us alive. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, it's very plain from these words that the author of man's salvation is God. I can never emphasize this truth sufficiently, because it is the chief religious error amongst men to believe that man is the author of his own redemption. It is the chief of errors, for it is the first manifestation of man's sinfulness. You remember how it was with Cain. He came to worship God, not in the fashion God had ordered, that God had commanded, but we read in Genesis chapter 4, the verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That is, the labors of his own hands. Now, this offering was in direct disobedience of what it was God required as an expression of faith in his mercy. God required a lamb. That's what Abel brought, and Abel, his brother, was accepted with God. The labor of man's hand is considered by many more than sufficient to save their soul. It is a universal and utterly destructive error. This error is the greatest hindrance to conversion. As long as a man feels that he controls the matter of his eternal state, he will not heed God's warnings and God's exhortations. Who will seek unto the doctor who believes himself fit and healthy? This error is the last to be overcome in the sinner's heart before conversion. This sin keeps the sinner hard and unbowed and defiant. It's a sin built on pride. Man says, I am good enough for heaven. He rejects the call of the gospel, and that defiance and that attitude must be overcome before there is a bending of the knee before Christ and a recognizing that salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah cried out in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. A man must learn and believe before he can be saved. You'll notice, too, that salvation springs from God's love and grace. If it is not of man, then it must be of God, and if it is of God, it's unmerited, undeserved. Love is the foundation of God's plan of salvation. Love is the spring of all that God undertook to do for his elect. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You can read those words in John chapter 3, and again, this time 1 John chapter 4, the verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And once again, but after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. He has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's Titus, Paul's epistle to Titus, chapter 3 and the verses 4 to 7. God graciously undertook this work of redemption. Out of his love sprung his free, unmerited plan of deliverance. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. There we have it in Ephesians chapter 2 and the verses 5 and 8. Please note the clear setting forth of the truth that it was of God, not man, who wrought this work. God's salvation brings to the believing sinner the wonderful benefits of God's mercy and grace. His benevolent action toward the sinner sprang from his love and grace. Note what it is that the believing sinner enjoys as a result, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Verses 6 and 7 of Ephesians chapter 2. So then, God's salvation, which he has provided, comes to us through Christ. I must stress this, for how many go, as it were, knocking at the wrong door looking for salvation. It's through Christ alone that we are saved. There's a story in the second book of Kings, chapter 5, and the verses 1 to 14, I hope you read it, in which a Syrian general, Naaman, who suffered from leprosy, is told that there was a man in Israel, Elisha the prophet, who could heal him from his disease. Naaman, like all men, made assumptions regarding the matter, and didn't heed the simple instructions given him. Consequently, he didn't turn up at Elisha's door at first, but rather he assumed the best place to start would be at the royal palace, and that with a huge fortune in gold and silver to pay for his cure. And it wasn't until he heeded the proper instructions that were given to him, and that he went to Elisha and accepted as a gift God's mercy, obeying the instructions of the prophet, that he was healed. It is to Christ we must go for the saving of our soul, not to the church, or to the minister or evangelist, or to the saints, or any other individual. I repeat the words of Mary, the mother of Christ, recorded in John chapter 2 and the verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Oh, that's good advice. You will find salvation only in the words of the Lord Jesus. Peter said on another occasion, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." John 6, the verse 68. And that was wise of Peter. There you have it, listener. Salvation comes to us through the Lord Jesus alone. And again I quote Peter, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12. Before we leave these words, in verse 1 of Ephesians, please note that Paul speaks in the past tense. He says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The wonderful work of regeneration has taken place in their lives. They were dead, but now they're alive. They're alive in Christ. Earlier in the epistle to the Ephesians, the chapter 1, and the verse 3, we read these words beginning there. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." So again, you have the past tense employed. The experience of God's mercy and saving grace was something that had already taken place in their lives. Conversion was a past event. They were in Christ. Their sins were forgiven. They were saved. Paul would have them know that this is what they have and where they stand before God. The phrase, "by grace ye are saved," means literally, "by grace ye have been saved." What a glorious honor is thus conferred upon the Christian. Paul says, as a result of being quickened by Christ, we have been raised up, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The verses 6 and 7 of Ephesians chapter 2. Not merely made alive, but made to share in Christ's glory for all eternity. There are eternal benefits and blessings that follow faith in Christ. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." Revelation chapter 3 and the verse 21. We're citizens of heaven if we're converted. Citizens of heaven, how wonderful that is. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, rejoiced in prayer and said, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory." 1 Samuel chapter 2 and the verse 8. These are the benefits and blessings of faith in Christ. Hear John the Apostle's word on this matter. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Dear listener, seek unto Christ for these blessings today and be assured of them in time and eternity. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. Do listen in again next week. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to make contact with us. The literature is entirely without obligation and has but one aim, that of helping you understand more clearly God's way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you'd like to receive it, do send an email to info@ltbs.tv. If you have any further questions regarding how you can be saved and know your sins forgiven, do send us an email at that same address. We're your servants for Christ's sake, and we'll count it a great privilege to give you counsel from God's word so that you'll be able to say truly, "It is well with my soul." So do remember our email address, info@ltbs.tv. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you. And don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.